church and harvest who I see over here.
Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios here in the city of Dallas. We're going to get started here in just a moment. We're going to be running remotely. Some of the one of the newest things we're doing with this radio station. So it's so wonderful how you can do that. Because of the fact that even if you're in a location, you're away from a location, you can still operate the system. And one of the things I'm doing today is doing this purposely, just to see how the system really, you know, see how it runs. And this is our testimony Tuesday night. We're going to be dealing with the man of God out of Saginaw, Michigan, Elder Kerry Williams. We're going to be kind of dealing with the area of just walking with the testimony of faith. How the Word of God declares, decrees, where's the Word is in your mouth, that we declare, speak it, and everything we declare should come forth. But we're going to work this system that we have today, which is actually in a remote location, where we're in the, what we call a mobile location. And we're actually seeing just how this system holds up. What's going to take place during the course of time that we're moving. This is something new. It's something I really wanted to try out because sometimes we get members or people in the show say, hey, look, Pastor, I'm moving. I can't get into the show. I got some things going on. And, look, I just can't make it in right now. So what we're going to do is test it out. We're going to be kind of moving a little bit back and forth, but we're going in that book of Romans 10 and 9, and we're going to talk about the word in your mouth, the testimony that God has given us as to our salvation. That we live as men, man, and woman of God. We realize and understand that even when we make a testimony, it's a foundational word to the point that it won't go back. It's already declared, decreed that even when we say it, it's a testimony unto God to realize and understand He's got our back in everything we do. We're going to actually see what the system is going to be going here right now. And we're going to see if the man of God is in the studio. We might get cut. If we get cut, just hang on. We're going to be flipping back and forth. See just how the system holds up in this new innovation that makes you some day. God bless you.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key. I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least 4 digits of your PIN number. I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least 4 digits of your PIN number. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Come on, child. What's going on, man?
Okay, we're still having some problems with our connectivity here, but yet we're still on the air. We hear what we got. Try to make sure the man of God comes back in with us. But we're going to be dealing with today, dealing with the area of but the testimony of faith. Now, for those who are off the line, if you call back into the line, it's going to be area code 516-387-1220. And we want to make sure that you're going to be with us. Let's see if he's trying to get a hold of us now. Okay, let's kind of see how this thing's going to roll now. So, like I said, we're having some. This is a new type of device we're trying. No, we're not. We just don't know what's going on. But I tell you, please, ladies and gentlemen, we're trying something that most of the world don't even see. And we're trying to revolutionize this access system to a point that we're going to make it convenient for everyone who has the opportunity to come in and be a part of this show. Won't have to worry about the process of I'm late, can't be there. We run it completely. All you have to do is pick up the mobile device. The mobile device is actually in your pocket or in your hand. And wherever you may be with a tablet, you can still catch this show. So this is what we're working on today. Maybe some nuts and bolts. It seems like they're not screwing together properly. I guarantee you give us about a week, and this thing's going to be flowing. As I said today, we're going to be talking about it in the book of Romans chapter 10. Now, we're going to be talking about the actual word of faith and how we actually speak the word of faith in terms of how it is in our testimonies as men, men, and women of God. And let's kind of check this line and see if the men of God has came in already. Okay, haven't got them in yet, but we're going to keep on moving. And I'm hoping I'm coming through clear with you guys. I hope you're actually picking up this recording as I speak. I pray that it's happening. Let's make sure we're hearing each other properly. Minister Elder Carey, are you with us? Have you picked up on you yet?
We came back into the studio. We had an overdrop. Going to make sure we're going to get you online. If you can hear us, then go ahead and open up because we're trying to get you open. We see you lit up in here, but we can't get you functioned in.
Hello, Pastor Ellis. Hello, Pastor Ellis. Hello. Hello. Pastor Ellis, this is Elder Carey. If you can hear me, please respond or give me a call or something.
Come on, man.
man of God. Call back in. We're just not getting ourselves back connected here on the line. I'm telling you, I'm not going to even try to blame anything on Satan. I mean, we just totally got pulled out of the ordinary here. We didn't see this one coming. We did not see this coming. But praise God in the name of Jesus. I tell you, man and woman of God, I am so sorry that this happened. But let's go ahead and continue on and hear what the show. I think most of you guys on the show have been blanked out for the course of the time. I just got that information. And so what we want to do is go ahead and continue on with what we were going to be speaking about on tonight. And we're going to have to do what we call an overstream, which is fine. We can continue to run the show. There's no problem with that. But we can continue to move forward. Well, let's see what the man of God, let's see if our friend has got reconnected, because there's some areas where he was out of line and he couldn't get connected either. So let's see if we can get him back in business here and see what's going on here and what happened. I tell you, it totally caught me off surprise the way things took place. I didn't see this actual event coming, but let me make sure I can get the man of God, Elder Carey, back on with us, and let's see what happened on his end, because I know there were some problems on his end as well, because I wasn't connected with anyone on this particular area of the scripture, on this particular area of the show. So we're going to find out just what happened, and we got a few minutes. We're going to move forward, and we're just going to take off from here. We're going to do what you call an overstream, and we're going to get back in there. Man of God, come on and push that button and get on back in here. We just kind of got waxing on the system as of right now, but we're going to call you back. We want you to call into the show. We actually got caught off guard. This Wi-Fi just went crazy. So if you can push your little tattletale button and get on back in here, we're going to have to do an overstream. Yeah, well, go ahead on and with the 516. That should bring you right back into the show. We'll discuss it when you get on the line. That should bring you right back in. It was just whatever. We're just going to move from there. Amen. Man, I got to tell you, it was something. We don't know what happened on that note, but I tell you, with some of the things we do here in this ministry, it doesn't surprise me, ladies and gentlemen, with some of the challenges we got to deal with. This new system we was trying out, it was called the mobile app. And what we were trying to do with this particular system, that when people call into the show, and if they're actually on the show, they wouldn't have to worry about, I'm late, I can't make it. What they'll do is actually come in on the show on their mobile app. So during the course of time we was trying this mobile app, a lot of the transition and the things just went haywire. Things were running everywhere. But it's no surprise to me that the kind of work I do here in the ministry, that we don't get attacked by certain things that's outside. But, you know, the enemy, you know, as we always say, the devil is a lie. In this particular system that we was trying, it was called a mobile system, man of God. And we actually tried it. We was actually out there on the streets trying it. So what we were trying to do is get people, when they do call into the show or they're going to be a part of the show, they can still be able to access the system from their automobiles, laptops, or whatever that they have. And they can still be able to come to the show. When we get people in, we wouldn't have any interruption, whether they're tied up in traffic, whatever. It was something I've been working on all week since I heard what happened with you on that situation. I said, let me develop something, and let me go to my little tech mind and find out what I got to do. And I tried it, and what happened was it's possible that it can be done, but one thing about it, when you're on your mobile, you can't be what you call the host. You can only be the call-in person. So we know it does work. So we just couldn't get the opposite side of that. Man, God bless you in the name of Jesus. Today we've got the stream a little over, but we're all prepared for that. We got you in on the show. Let me get your kind of volume here.
Okay.
I mean, we got you in on the show, man. It's just a pleasure. I tell you, we were supposed to be in the name of Jesus at 7 o'clock. But nevertheless, we're here. We had a few callers that did come in. And I saw them actually on the system. I said, wow, that's muzzled. They can't hear anything. And I got to thinking about that. You know, I said, wow. And it really gave me a revelation. I said, wow, they're showing up, but nobody's hearing them. I said, wow.
Right.
And God just started speaking to me. He said, that's the way it is sometimes when you don't follow the plans and what I have in store for you. You're just like you're beating, Paul said, like you're beating the wind. You're not doing anything. You know, you're just fighting the wind. You're not moving nowhere. You know,
that's powerful.
Oh man, I said, wow. I said, all these people are in, but can't nobody hear nothing. They can't hear the translation of what we were trying to bring together, and we're just putting in parentheses and think about, well, Carrie, we're not going to say this. Carrie was God in the name of Jesus. I was Jesus trying to make a connection to the Father, and there was others following me, but I couldn't get through, you know.
Amen.
And there was multiple people on the line. I said, well, Lord, ain't this something? You know, this is not only did I not get the information that we wanted to get, but I don't think it was designed for us to be able to go forward and what we were probably going to be talking about on the night. Instead, he gave us an epiphany on this situation. He said, look at this. He said, do you really see what's going on here, man of God? I said, yeah, I do. He said, it's like they're trying to make contact with me, but I can't hear them because they're not in a position to receive. They need to reposition themselves. They're not fitting into the tumblers and the lock. They're not keying in, right? They're going in, but they ain't turning over. I said, wow. Well, man, I got to tell you, we're back in here. And I tell you, it was just something that the Lord had put in my heart to be able to speak about, you know, whatever it is we're going to be talking about on tonight. I think that was a very interesting question on Testimony Tuesday night service. And those who apologize once again, me and the men of God, here on, actually, I asked my wife is in the studio too, but we apologize for the fact that, you know, these things happen, especially when you tread new waters. These things happen, especially when you're a person like me. I experiment. I want to find out more because I'm looking beyond who I am. I'm not just going to stay in one spot. I'm going to look beyond because I see the future is bright. And he told me in the word that he'll make a way in the midst of the wilderness for me. Then okay, yeah, I'm a move, I'm a go for it, and whatever happens, I'm stumbling, going to it'll clear out after a while. Amen.
Amen.
I got to tell you, man of God, we got cross tracked on last week, but I declare by the word of God, it wasn't going to happen again a second time this week. You know, where we were going to actually get go, and we just got to be there to denounce all principalities and power and dominion and all those things that try to come against us, and we just got to believe and declare and decree, kind of like now, man of God. You know, and all
amen.
To try to attack us spiritually and physically and mentally, and we just got to know how to focus, man. We just got to stay right there and just keep our eyes on the flint, as the word of God say, focus like a flint.
Amen. Amen. I mean, it's time to turn up the focus.
Hey, yeah, well, come on.
You know, I was sitting here and, you know, calling, trying to get on, and at one or two points I heard you, but you couldn't hear me, and then the system started proceeding to kick me out. So I'm sitting there the whole time, and I'm just rebuking the devil. But what I want to tell you real quick is, mm-hmm. that system, the way it's working, may be fine, but there should be an app that you can have us getting, and maybe, you know, then we can do the thing, mobile or whatever. But mm-hmm. you know, that's your area of expertise. I'm not an expertise in that. But you know, the only thing I wanted to talk about tonight, as a matter of fact, it kind of ties into what you were just saying. You know,
let's go back.
The
a
Lord.
Bit. Let's go back a little. This is an app. For all those who loaded in can come
okay.
in. This is a developed app by what we put together here at Harvest of Light Church. This is nothing new. I mean, this
right,
is
but what
this
I'm saying is maybe we need the app. Maybe I might need to have the app itself too.
Yeah. Your system, if you can load it through your Tune Store or through your App Store, if you hit it, it'll go right in. Now, for those
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
It's convenient for those who sometimes, you know, we get these phones and these apps don't pick up. I mean, we're just speaking technical here. Everybody can't get into the app.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they got
that's
so
true.
Many, you know, they limited something. They said, you only got so many minutes, you're going to use all the. So they can't get these apps. And so what we do is give them a straight phone number, and better off with a straight phone number, whether that be people who's not familiar with technology, what they can
right.
do is call lead into the show.
Right. The phone number is easy to access. Now, the apps, a lot of these times, see, people are limited with working with so many, so much power and so many gigs and things they're working with on their plan, so the app might exceed that, you know.
Yeah, for those who technically, you know, those who techie can't figure out how to use it. But those who are
true
not
that.
They can just call straight in like a regular phone number. You know, some of our older brothers and sisters are not quite as techy as probably as I am or some of the other guys out there. And what if I do this all the time? So what we'll do, rather than having them going through confusion, give them a straight number.
Well, look here, Preacher. I'm just grateful that God is not limited in his resources and his ways, you know.
Amen.
You know, God's bigger than all of this, man. So we're good on that.
Yeah, that's turning up the focus. Let's discuss about that, turning up the focus. You were saying something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, one of the things God spoke to me a little while ago, and one of the things that occurred to me is that we've been talking about keeping our testimony intact. And matter of fact, I think David, in the 119th division of the Psalm, some 60-61 times, he pledged and he promised and he talked about keeping his testimony and God's commands intact. And the toughest thing for us to do in order to achieve this is to operate in our feelings. You know, God gave all of us feelings, and we should never be ashamed of our feelings, because God gave them to us for a purpose. They have a natural purpose for us. But the downside is that, you know, they can also lie to us.
That's right.
They can also deceive us and lie to us. See, the good part of feelings, you know, they alert you to danger and things like that. You know, they can let you know, they can give you insight on different things. And God actually uses our feelings even to draw us closer to him, so that it serves to highlight areas in our lives that actually need to be submitted to God. So feelings aren't totally a good thing. I mean, a bad thing, excuse me. But the bad part of that, the bad side of that, is that we can't always trust our feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, you know, you can walk into any situation or hear something being spoken, and because of your perception is connected to your feelings, you might perceive it in a way other than what it was intended or totally wrong. And then the next thing you know, if you're not careful, your feelings are taking over, and they're motivating you and they're driving you, feeling things, you know, of anger and disrespect, feelings of sadness and feelings of overall anything that's negative. And those are the things we have to be careful about. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:5 that we should constantly test our feelings. We'd actually use our mindset and our head and test our feelings, because we've got to understand that it means everything to you to be tapped into the power of God. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 1:9, Paul says something very important to the Philippians, and I'm reading from the New King James Version Bible. And it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Verse 10 is what I'm getting at, "that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense."
What is the thing?
"Till the day of Christ." See, our feelings are so tied up and so entangled and tied up in our flesh that there's so many different things that offend us. Now, that word offense means stumbling block. And it was always Paul's wish, it was always Jesus' wish, that we didn't allow the things of this world and the actions of men and other people to be stumbling blocks for us. Even as a matter of fact, even of us as saints and Christians, you know, we do things and we say things and we mean well. But when we're speaking from our feelings instead of our spirit, a lot of times, even when we mean well, we say things and we provide a stumbling block. We offend other people.
Do we mean
and we've
well?
Got to yes, sir. We've got to understand
that we
aren't designed to be a stumbling block to anyone, as a matter of fact.
But do we, hold on a second. Hold on, let's back up. Do we really mean well about the things that we're supposed to be as being spiritual walkers, as it says in Galatians? Do we really mean well when we don't tame the tongue, as James says? Do we really understand when we let our feeling or our flesh, as Paul speaks in the book of Ephesians, And he also brings into the Galatians. Now, it's a spiritual walk. Now, flesh
right.
and blood are part of our spiritual walk. When we're guided by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's just think about what you just said. I mean,
that's exactly what I'm getting at, Pastor.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm throwing some. I got to throw puzzling questions in it because this is what I am.
Oh,
I
no.
As you go along.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But that's exactly what I'm getting at. We mm-hmm. got to understand that, again, this is all spiritual. This is a spiritual walk. The Bible tells us, lets us know that we've got to try the spirit, whether they mm-hmm. be of God, because any spirit that mm-hmm. does not testify or agree or uphold and stand in the faith, any spirit that does not speak that Jesus is the Son of God, then that spirit is not of God. But the mm-hmm. problem is too many times we confuse spirit,
yes, in the spirit
with emotions and feelings.
Well,
and see, the Bible even tells us that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Again, you've got a lot of people out there, and many of them, in their mindset, they mean to do well. But when they open their mouth, they're coming from places of emotion. It's one thing that's always bothered me about a lot of times in church, and trust me, I encounter many people out there this day who, you know, they profess to be saved, sanctified, the saints of God, and they can go into the house of God and go into a church and they can sit. And if whoever the man of God is speaking, if he's not hooping, if he's not tuning up this, that, or the other, he's not appealing to their senses and their emotions, they label, they judge, they get angry, they say this man can't preach. They get up, they walk out on him, they do things. But let me tell you something, man. If you're walking in the Spirit, Spirit recognizes the Spirit. And I'm talking about the Spirit of God here, recognizes the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God, the words of God, Jesus said, the words I speak to their spirit and their life. So their spirit recognizes that word. And if it's being delivered, no matter how it's being delivered, your spirit is connecting with that word because your spirit is designed that word. But if you find your flesh judging it and not wanting to hear it because you're receiving or expecting something else, that's what I'm talking about being led by your feelings. Because in this day and age, we've got so much going on. The enemy has stepped up his game, and it's time for the saints of God. It's time for God's called out Ecclesia. Again, I often say that God is a spirit. Bible lets us know that we've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. So God's a spirit. His church is also spirit. But we've got to rightly divide the word of truth and dig enough and seek God enough to understand and know the difference. I saw something today that really astounded me. It didn't surprise me, but it astounded me. And it was just some video footage of a man, and this man was preaching. Now, he's preaching against homosexuality. Okay, that's one thing. Homosexuality is a sin in the eyes of God. Whether people would like to believe or acknowledge that or not, it's a sin before God. And so I understand man preaching against homosexuality. But the problem I had was the words that he was using and the delivery he was using. I'm sure many people saw this because it was posted all over social media and in particular on Facebook. This man is preaching the word. He's preaching now to all these people. And the best thing he could say over and over and over again was to beware of fire out of your butthole. Now, he's talking about homosexuals and this, that, and the other. He went so far as to say, people like T.D. Jakes, one of these days, you're going to have fire coming out of your butthole. And the only thing was this, God dropped it in my spirit, and God said simply this. You know, he said it's one thing to preach the word of God, a desire to preach the word, but there's a big difference between preaching the word of God and actually looking like something other than what you're professing to be while you're preaching it. Paul told us not to use our spiritual liberty as a cloak of unrighteousness.
Let's approach this from a spiritual and a reasonable understanding from us as being men and women of God. What you allow to lead you and what you become accustomed to is what you become. If you allow words, if you allow this performance, notice the words I'm using. I analyze what I say. If you allow. Now, when you say allow, mean people become subject and used to. Does that make sense? Allow these things to come across your pulpit, when you allow these things to become subject to your learning and understanding, guess what? Whatever you plant is what's going to grow.
There you go. There you go.
Divided and understanding the word of God. When they come in stone-minded, ignorant, not my sin, negative, boss, they be not ignorant because God is not marked. But I'm talking about understanding how the word should be interpreted. Now, the days that me and you grew up in, there are certain things that men wasn't even allowed, and I said it again, to say behind the pulpit because the parishioners, people like your mother, my mother, would actually scorn that man to the point to say, you didn't have the right to say that. But what I'm saying, when the word of God said, when things creep in, you allow a little bit. You know, you get away with so much when your parents are getting at you, and then they don't get you, and they get away with a little bit more. You know, he says, well, when I get you, I'm going to get you for old and new. Now, when you allow men of God like that to come across the pulpit, and begin to say these things, and the people allow to receive. See, if people would actually boycott these ministers, and when they hear these things, get up and just hit the door, because you ain't gonna allow that kind of stuff to be planted into you. If you see
not even, there, yeah, that's right.
Somebody to talk to you, disrupt those out of order.
There are things that you must be able to cast down.
You understand? Yep. You must be loving.
I understand.
If you're not just, you're not trained properly, as Apostle Paul says, about the process of how a man who calls himself as being a part of the cloak ought not to speak in certain ways that it be pertaining to the world. But now the world has creeped into our house.
Right.
Also our spiritual house. Because why? Because we are sitting there as men and women of God. Now, I ain't talking about the church. To my spiritual house, us. We step
I understand.
In and we allow these things to be spoken into our spirit. Now, don't get me wrong. Sexuality is a sin. But the word of God tells us also all men have fallen short.
There you go.
I hate the sin, but I can't hate the person. When you understand that's a sin, like
there
you
go.
About the process, I think you gave. We got to learn how to pray against the spirit of division. We got to know how to pray against the spirit of compromise. You talked about those things, that spirit of worry. That is a spirit. Now, when you spoke about John 4:24, now us as being men and women of God are not supposed to let those things come into our household. I mean, us, period. Either we'll walk away from the conversation or we'll get up and make our way out to the door because I'm not going to be fed by poison. I'm not going to allow that to come into my ears, my daughter's ears, and whoever sat there when they listen to it, then that's on them. Well, this is where the church is going. No, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
You allow those things to be spoken into you. See, you got to learn how to get up and boycott and walk out when you don't want to hear certain things going into your ear, when you don't want your children to hear certain things. You know, when we were young, our mothers covered our ears when things was heinous, said bad.
That's right.
We don't do that now. We wide open like bugles, and we listening to everything that go in. You know what we'll do? Rather than rebuking it and talking about it and discussing it, we'll go back and we'll Facebook it, and we'll talk about it, we'll make fun of it, and we'll say people. but that ain't nobody. That ain't no problem. That's okay. No.
Hey, preacher.
You gotta stand up for stuff.
Amen. You see, preacher.
You ain't got no backbone. You literally living a yellow bellied. Because you allow those people to come into your house.
Yes,
you sir. If a burglar comes to me and your door, now we're going to be the best way that we need to defend our house. You can't come
Amen.
Up in here. Because
Amen.
I have the key to this house. And the key says it ain't but one owner to this house. And the only one who has access to this house is me, unless I give you the key. And what's happening right now, people are giving anybody the keys to their house and allowing anything to go into their house. And then they wonder why they're corrupt and why the schools are messed up, why parents are being, why the children are being disobedient to parents, because they're not governing them in the household. They thermostats are all over the place. They don't know how to regulate them. See, we know our parents know how to regulate our thermostat. Boy, you come in with, I knock the devil out of you. You know how they done it.
Yes, sir.
I will beat you down. But now the law come in and said, if you touch a child, you go into jail. My child?
Come on.
My mother kept the trees pruned.
I know that's real.
Go, and they were so strong at it. Go get the switch.
We had leather belts in the whole nine, chief.
Oh, man. They were strong, you know, mentally and physically, because they said, you go get the switch that I can beat you with. Now, you know that's a psychological effect right there on a man of a child. When you got to go get the very thing you're going to get beat with, yourself.
But it worked, brother. It worked.
Oh, it worked.
Listen.
But now we are straight away from those tactics, those
yeah.
The wall is constantly being torn down. It's slowly being torn down, brick by brick. A little bit more we allow. This guy talking about fire coming out of private places of people, you know. Next thing, what's going to happen after that? Somebody's going to get up and say something else because they think it's okay.
Amen. And see, this is the thing, man, Pastor. Back then, there was a reverence that was taught. There was a mutual reverence between the man of God, the people of God, and even the community that was taught that has been totally wiped out. The reality is that this is all the word of God coming to pass. You know,
mm-hmm.
Paul, Jesus always told us that these days and these things were coming. This is why it's so important now that we have to be able to discern rightly
mm-hmm.
and know the difference. Like, again, see, these are all things, these are all consequences of being led by your feelings and your flesh. When you get to the point in your life where you can truly understand and put into practice the fact that Paul told us that I die daily, and keep my body under subjection, lest I myself be a castaway, then you're growing and you're getting somewhere. See, the problem with this whole thing is that being in these houses of flesh, you know, your mindset is connected directly to your feelings. And because of your sin nature, your feelings are automatically drawn to things that are very controversial. It's been established widely in the culture here that's been driven into the mindsets and the vested spirits of man that it's cool and popular to be a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
But God loves obedience. God requires obedience and produces order. And this is why we have to. This is why, and I'm talking about myself. I ain't speaking from no glass tower. I see
mm-hmm.
things like this, and I hear things like that, and it literally plucks a nerve in me, and the first thing I want to do is respond.
Well, see, hold on a second, man, God. Now, that's a good thing with you, but listen, the word of God, think about what you just said. Now, that's a good word what you said. See, your spirit picked up on John 4:24.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're a worshiper in spirit and in truth. And it threw away the things that he talked about. Was it 1 Timothy? What is it? What is it? 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy? 1 Timothy? Is it 2 Timothy?
1 Timothy, yeah.
No,
1 Timothy.
But know this. Is it 1 Timothy
3?
Yes, two, yeah. For notice in the last day, perilous times will come. Then talk about the first, Second Timothy 3. See, your spirit
put Second Timothy 4.
But then again, another person's spirit ignored the fact that God said these commandments are in place, and ain't no sense to you, you know. He said, ain't no sense you being, how you would say, alarmed, because these things have to come to pass. But you've been a person who was spiritually born, would say, well, you know, I ain't got to react to everything that I hear, because why? I'm a man to walk in meekness. And see, we fight not against it. It tears me a lot. There's been a man of God who's on the studio, on his radio constantly, days after day, speaking the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And I got a great following of people. I mean, a great following.
Yeah.
There are actually people in my own household, in my somewhere, who don't even reverence that what we do. See, when we start to approve us, that's when God will elevate us.
Exactly.
As long as we're looking for people to approve us, we want to be on the radio, we want to be on the TV, we want to be known before men like the Pharisees. Well, see, when I get on this stuff, I don't look for 1,000 people to be a part of my show. Even though they're listening, I know they're listening. Because they know
They listen.
Like we got on the show right now, we got probably 4 people in the studio. God bless their soul. That's fine. But in the archives, you look at the archives, you got 120 people in the archives just listening.
Amen.
And what we're talking about right now, what we and you speaking about right now, they're listening. Because they're listening to the point of how they need to govern themselves and put themselves as being a measuring point to be example for the kingdom of God. Now, you just laid something out. You said to yourself, I'm not going to tolerate as being a man of God for this person to think it's okay for him to come across the pulpit and let the young people who are just immature in the ministry, who don't even know how to eat meat yet, say this is okay.
Amen.
So now, I think he was okay with saying it. No, he wasn't okay with saying that. If you back in the old days, them old mothers be throwing shoes at you up in that pool.
You got that right.
Get them out of them. Get them out of there. We don't want them. Because they didn't want them in there. Them old people would sit back and turn they false teeth in their head and say, he's going to say something like that. And they're going to sit up and listen to it. And they're going to say, hey, see, you can't say, see, you can, in the spirit, by saying yay or nay, it's amen. Because you don't sit there and say nothing, I don't approve of it. Those who say yay, they raise their hand. Those who say nay, don't raise their hand. Some of these old women in the ministry look at you, and I don't know how he thinks.
Amen.
This is a new age ministry. No, it ain't new age. The word of God says it never changes.
Listen, even when you call yourself preaching the word of God, God still requires order. He's still a God. He's still a God of decency and in order. And you know, Solomon, it reminded me so much of what Solomon said. The harsh words stir up anger and wrath. And we've got to understand that you can't present God any type of way you want to present God. No, you have to be submitted. That's exactly it. You work for him. Paul even went so far as to tell us, look, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. And he said at the end of the day, have your anger, but sin not. Anytime you step outside of the boundaries of God, I don't care how right you think you are, you're wrong. The Bible says that as a man thinketh, so is he. Again, your thought life is tied directly to your feelings and vice versa. That's why everything, it can't be stressed enough. When Paul said that we have to become a new creation, any man coming to Christ, behold, he's a new creation. Behold, all things, old things have passed away. All things have become new. That means you have a new walk. You have a new talk. You have a new mindset. And what you want, what Kerry wants, will never matter again as long as I'm in Christ. What Kerry's flesh wants, let me say that right. What Kerry's flesh wants, Kerry's earthly and fleshly desires, will never matter as long as I'm in Christ, because I told God I'm giving my will up in exchange for his. It's no more I carry. You know, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And that's what that's about. Your whole new mantra is that of Christ and what Christ would have you to do, what Christ would speak into and through you. It's not about trying to make somebody hear and understand and agree with what you want to say.
Well, you know, that goes back in the area of obedience with your favorite scriptures, Galatians 2:20, you know.
Exactly.
You got to know who you've been reigned and ruled by.
If you represent Christ, Christ told us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Right.
You're not trying, you can't beat anybody down with the word and expect them to hear you. As a matter of fact, you can close a person's spirit. I don't care how anointed you are, how great you feel you are as a servant of God, you can close a person's spirit. And from that point forward, they'll never hear anything that you've got to say again, and many of them won't hear anything from any other man or woman of God because you've done damage there that you can't reverse.
Yeah,
and God's going to hold you accountable for that before he even holds them accountable.
Yeah. He said that.
This thing ain't nothing to play with. And in this day and age in particular, we all know we understand new levels, new devils. When you move on up in this thing in God, you have to move yourself further and further out of the way. I can't exalt myself. God has to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in Proverbs speaks loudly in everything you said. You know,
my feelings don't matter.
A little. You see, you can draw like the old people said. They was really speaking in terms of the word of God. Like the word of God is sweeter than honey and honeycomb. You got to know how to. You got to do everything with love.
Exactly. It has to be flavored in love, and that's the only way you're going to know it's real. Jesus said, if you love one another, by this they shall know that you are my disciples.
Right. And those who feel like, you know, that Proverbs 14:12, you can only tell them so much. Because the Lord told them, it's a way, you know.
That's
it's
right.
A way. You can go that way, but he told you what the results are, you know. So, I mean, to be able to be among a pearl and somebody can teach you, to help you, to guide you, it's awesome. And what we're finding sometimes in the daytime is hard to find good fathers in the ministry. They're willing to help young men like Paul helped Timothy. It's almost if they're out for themselves. And it's almost if we're on the desert, we all have water, they will hope that you will fall that they can drink the rest of your water. Some people, they live to see you fall. They live to see you done, come under what you call stress, strain, to the point that they want to put their mouth on you and say all sorts of things about you because they felt, like you said, they're flush, I told you so.
That's right.
You don't know the thoughts. The word of God says like this, even though it's a way that seems right to a man, but his end is his death. But the word of God says in the book of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts
and the
plans.
And the plans I have.
It's crippling to you from the standpoint of view from the physical. The word of God declares, decrees, I am the author and the finisher of Elder Carey's faith. I am the one. I am the great I am. It matters what it looks like to you from the physical standpoint of view, but if I'm going to raise him up, matter of fact, man of God, you don't know when you turn your Bible, such a prophetic word, man. For those who are listening, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I want you to see something, really, how a lot of us miss out on a lot of things that God really has already in store for us, even though Jeremiah 29:11 tells us the thoughts and the plans are already there. But when you look at the book of Ecclesiastics, it brings some revelational word. He said, cast thy bread upon the water.
Upon the water.
After many days.
That's right.
What you do now may not progress in the eyes of the physical. But if you just keep on moving in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree by the word of God, say, it will come back to you. When he
hallelujah.
He says over there in Ecclesiastes 2, he said, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for they know not what evil may be fall upon the earth. Listen to me, man. You don't know the time that God's going to pull you out of here. But, baby, if you look at verse 1, if you do the work right now, your reward is even greater. And whatever calamity may try to come against you, God has always got protected. The word of God declares that the devil is like a roaring lion. Seeking, he's looking for somebody to tear down. But he also comes back in that Ecclesiastical 11. He said, "For the clouds are full of rain; they on the earth. And if the tree falls, hear me, man of God. If the tree falls to the south, or if the tree falls to the north, whatever place the tree falls, it doesn't matter what you are, what you look like, what lifestyle you live in. When God begin to bless you, man of God, ain't no demon, no devil,
amen.
In hell can
Amen.
Whatever he rain on you at, you ain't got to have a house full of men of God around you to make you feel that you got to ride off their coattail. Wherever you
Amen.
Are, in your quest to cast in the work that God has called you to do, knowing that in the latter day, God is going to bless you for whatever you meet out in terms of doing the work for the kingdom of God. A lot of men take that scripture. They don't really know what they're talking about. They look at the commentary standpoint of view. But if God said the clouds be full of rain and they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falls to the south and toward the north, the place where the tree falleth, it shall be. When God put his hands on your life, it doesn't matter what condition you are in. It doesn't matter where you're from. And it really bothers me when men look at this point of the scripture from an educational or a commentary standpoint of view.
Amen.
God told me, when you do right by verse 1 and you understand that even though it be 7, it be 8, look here, it's like the seed sower. Not only the seed sower, when you talk about the process of the portion, when God went out and gave the talents out, he gave out the talents, but some of them, and one of them didn't quite do because of the less of the proportion. See, God was looking at the process of how much he gave the first and the second and the third. He was looking at how you respond to what he put in your hand.
Amen.
And when God would bless you and open up the windows of heaven, and it says in Malachi, he speaks this word strongly to you. It doesn't matter where you are. Whether you got a large church, whether you got a small church, whether you don't know much about the word of God, look, cast your bread. Look, trust in God. That whenever God go to bless you for whatever you meet it out according to what the word of God declares over here in verse 1, if you just put it out there, it ain't got to be pleasing to man or nobody. Just do the
Amen.
Work of what he told you to do. And don't worry
Amen.
About everything else. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be willing to stand up in the house with your great tassels and great names and oratorical skills and want the best seat and think somebody's going to look at you all the time. He may preach one way. You may preach another way. And I tell people the same way like this, man of God. You may like McDonald's. I may like Burger King. You may like, I don't know, Sonics or something. But listen to me. It still does the same thing. Let's not worry about the petty stuff.
Amen.
Whatever it uses you to get your stomach full, and that's what you like, that's what you eat. But
Come
you
on.
Make sure you eat the right thing. See, because you can't eat from everybody's table. Some like the hoopers, some like the teachers, some like the clowners. If I can get to you, and if the word that I'm getting to you is good, that it may draw you, maybe somewhere in the midst of whatever I'm drawing you, you'll find your way to what true holiness is all about. I just want to get you on the line and get you on the hook. I may not can't reel you in like you want to get reeled in, but if I can put a word up off in your heart, to get you to understand
Amen.
That the word of God, is he's no respectable God. And if you don't allow anything to invade your house, then you ain't got to worry about having a Terminex distributor around your house. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Worry about the pest control Terminator that's
Amen.
Coming to your house. Get the bugs and the bad spirits. And I'm talking about the word of God. If you
Amen.
Allow the right kind of Terminator to come in, then guess what? Let it move and let it convict. Let it arrest and let it shut down every negative thing that's not like God. Who cares?
Amen. Amen.
So you got to work out your own soul and salvation. In the process of working out your own and soul salvation, teach the people the right way to walk. Don't have people walking all kind of way, bow-legged and cross-legged and cross-eyed and whatever it is, looking at those. And when you go to say somebody's real, then, I ain't never read that. Then why? Because you got too involved in emotionalism. And when your
Amen.
Mother talks, certain things, and she spoke to you, and she made sure you heard her. And if you did it again, I'm going to deal with you, she said. I'm going to whoop you, and I'm going to get you for all in you. Parents didn't scream at us all the time. They talk to us harsh and hard. Listen, put that belt on us. You don't have that today. This is what I'm saying about
Amen.
The man. You speak my stuff come out of people's backsides? What kind of mouth you got? I don't care if you popular all over the world. This one pastor don't approve of that stuff. There are certain words you can't say behind the house of God in the pulpit of
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen.
Don't do that. You
there's a reverence. There's a reverence. There's a respect that goes with that oracle and that office and that ground. That pulpit is sacred ground.
You better believe it.
And we've got to understand it must be treated as such. But, Pastor, let me ask something what you were just saying. There's a word for somebody on the line tonight, somebody listening tonight. And I'm speaking, again, not from a glass tower. I believe in being transparent. But there's somebody that's listening tonight who has a desire to go forth in ministry. God is telling you to do these things and to speak these things and to love on somebody. But you feel like your hands are bound. You feel like nobody will take you seriously or nobody will hear you and receive you because of certain things in your past and things like that. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. Number one is that, you know, people say all the time, what's done is done, the past in the past. And that's true to a certain extent. But you've also got to understand that if you don't stand up and acknowledge and face and deal with your past, it will destroy your future. And this is what God wants us to understand. That's why your testimony is so important. That's why it's so important that you dismiss your feelings and tie into your testimony and keep your testimony intact, because it's there to bless you and to build you and then to serve God's purposes. Again, you can't afford to allow your past to destroy your future. So, as a matter of fact, when we go through, as a matter of fact, one thing that's missing now, when we're talking about respect and reverence, the one thing that you never see here or talk about, you still never see it come across, even from the pulpit now, is simply one thing, is humility. The Bible says that Jesus was humble. We've got to understand that being humble is not a bad thing. Being humble, especially being humble before the Lord, is not to be weak and pitiful. But being humble is exercising quiet strength. And Paul said this much in Philippians, the second chapter. He said, let me read from chapter 2, verse 1. He said, therefore, if there's any consolation or any comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, he said, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And then he went on to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself to be of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He said, being found in appearance as a man, and this is what I need everybody to understand, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you profess to be in Christ, if you profess to be in God, if you profess to be saved, sanctified, and set free from bondage, and to be a new creation in God, that means that you are also humble, just like Christ, even unto the point of death. To be humble means to exercise a quiet strength. It means you can take something and keep on going. You can be like that old time mess, that old slogan they used to say, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You've got to be willing to endure something. So therefore, your feelings cannot leave you. And this is what we're talking about tonight. There used to be a reverence. There used to be a humility. It hasn't gone anywhere as long as you're Christ's own. But when you see it raising up around you,
Those are things of the enemy. I don't care if it's coming across a pulpit. Anybody, the devil goes to church.
Boycott it. I'm telling you.
You can ask anybody you want to in this day and age if they believe in God. Most people will say, yeah, I believe in God. Well, guess what? The devil believes in God. He knows God. God created him. But the trick of being humble, the trick of being faith in God, the trick of being obedient to God is to believe God. We got too many people out there operating, doing this, that, and the other, saying they love God and they know God and they believe God, but then they do what they want to until there's a time it's convenient for them to try and look like it. Jesus said, and I quote, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Well, to keep the command of the cross is to check yourself and to exercise self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That's being humble.
Yes.
And we've got to understand in this day and age, everything around you is designed to test and to pull at that. It wants to keep you from being humble. It wants to keep you out of a place of humility and self-discipline and obedience to God, and to pull you into a place where everything goes and you're out of control. There's no humility in that. There's no self-control in that. It takes more strength to control yourself than it does to blow up and to let loose and operate outside of God's command. This is why David stood and hopped on so much on keeping the command of God. David knew who he was. David acknowledged over and over again that he was a sinner before God. But guess what? David also understood that he had to humble himself and ask God to forgive him. When Nathan went to David and told him about himself, David went to talking about he would kill the man who took the ewe lamb from the servant. David said, I would kill him. Nathan, the prophet, told him, you are that man. David immediately repented. Too often these days we get real repentance mixed up. People say, well, I'm going to ask God to forgive me later. God will forgive me. Yeah, God will forgive you if you ask him. But God also understands that asking for forgiveness and repenting are two different things. When you repent, you're sorrowful about these things, and to repent means to turn away from.
Yeah, yeah. Repent. That's what John
is. Real repentance is to turn away from a thing, drop it like a bad habit, and leave it alone. It doesn't mean ask God to go back and forth and ask God to forgive me over and over again. At some point, you're going to abuse God's forgiveness. You're going to abuse God's grace, and he's going to shut it off. Right now, we're still living on a dispensation of a time frame of grace. We still have the ability to call on God.
Mm-hmm.
But saints of God, I'm telling you, the day is going to come that that's no longer going to be so. We have to be prepared.
Yes, right now. Really is. It really is now. Not in, so to speak, in terms of the physical, but spiritually. It is. Time is out. You know?
Exactly. But right now, until Christ comes back, see, we can still seek the face of God. We can still repent and seek forgiveness.
Great men.
But after Christ has come back, it's a wrap for that, preacher.
Great man of God, Apostle Timothy A. Treadwell. He said something the other day. Like this. It's a dangerous thing to pick up what you are thrown away.
Exactly.
In other words, when you look at the book, you think about the book of John, look at the book of John chapter, I think the 21st chapter, I believe I'm correct, the 21st chapter of John. And the word it says in the book of John, it says that, let's scroll there, because I don't like it. When you're giving solid information, you don't want to, you know, it's good to be able to. You know, that's fine. But when you're given solid teaching, you want to know that what you're saying is lining up with what God is saying. No, we know it. Look at the book of John, 21st chapter.
All right.
Now, look at this. He said, after these things, we know the process, what you know happened with Jesus and Cephas and all that. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Now, that kind of questioned me when he said he showed himself again to the disciples. Because, you know, the Word of God speaks over in the book of Acts, and we talk about the Word of God, the Word in the book of Acts, Acts 1, chapter 8, he said, stay in Jerusalem until I endow you with power. Now, understand this. He gave them the ability to have the power. When you go back to the book of Hebrews, you look at the book of Hebrews, he talks about the process that, you know, in the 12th chapter, he said, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. He said them about, he told them about the faith of substance in the Hebrews 11. But what God, what I'm simply saying is, after all the information that God gave these men of God to line them up to get them ready for the day that he was going to leave, he commanded them that their work got to continue on. It must not cease. He said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples after the Sea of Tiberias. And on wise, he showed himself. And he was gone to Simon and Peter and Thomas, who called Demas, Nathanael, Cana, and Galilee, the son of Zebedee. We know how to go, two other disciples. And Simon Peter said unto him, look what he said here, I'll go a fishing. Now, this is right. He said, I'll go a fishing. The thing that gets me on this particular area of the scripture, even though we look at it, said that therefore together, he said all of us together. We're talking about the gathering of disciples who knew that the work had to continue on to be complete. And I heard him, you know, when I talk about Apostle Timothy Treadwell, he said something about that process, that it's a dangerous thing to pick up what you've thrown away. And I really
mean
that if you can catch it, once God bring you out, you go back to what you used to do. When you look at the story, you think about what that apostle said. Simon Peter said unto him, I'll go fishing. Now, you know, man of God, we both know, God pulled him away from being what? Fishermen, to being fishermen of men. You
That's right.
You fish, but you will fish for men, not God.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? He said,
and
look at the process of how he said, we'll go also.
Mm-hmm.
And they went forth and into the ship, and immediately that night, this is what I'm saying, whenever you go back, nothing will never work out for you. It'll never work
Amen.
Out for you. Whenever God pulls out, it's never designed for you to go back.
Amen.
Then when God pulled them off, and if you know anything about the process of the storm, when you're going down here, and Jesus showed up in the fifth verse, he said, children, he asked them, have any of me? They said, no, we ain't got nothing. We ain't caught nothing. Why? Because you go back to what he said on the third verse, you know, you really weren't designed to really go back there anyway. Now, they was master fishermen.
Amen.
Now, we were master. And I said, in all respect of everybody, we were all master sinners.
Come on.
Why do I say that? Because Ephesians says that. When we were all lost. When we were all.
Yep.
You say A-L, you say everybody. When they trespasses and sins. When we all walk the course of the world. But
Paul
now
said in Romans, man.
Amen. But now we see it right here in this story, how Jesus trained the disciples to do the work of the kingdom. I know what the harvest is truly great, but the labors are few. They were designed to multiply the work of Christ among the other ones who were dysfunctional and didn't understand. Instead, they got all messed up, and they went back to doing what Christ pulled them away from doing. And that's it. Or nothing. Because why? They went back. And the word of God declared, and he said unto them, he said, look, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Notice how he says that.
Into the deep, brother. Into the deep.
The net on the right side of the ship, specifically. Came back a story right in the book of Kings. The woman said it was going to get her sons. What did he do? Elijah told him, look what you got up in your house. He said, I ain't got nothing but some oil up in there. She followed the instructions so close to the point that she was blessed beyond measure. Go get all the vessels. He gave a straight command, even with the Jericho wall. It was straight commands on what they're supposed to do. The only way you're going to ever get a revelation and a blessing from God is to follow the commands and statutes and his precepts. He told the same thing in Deuteronomy. He talked to all them blessings they're going to have. But down to the end of the blessings, he said, if you rebel, you'd be just like your forefathers. And you look at the process that happened out there in the wilderness, man, that was the longest funeral you will ever see in your life, or overhear about in your life. They died out for 40 years. Some say 37 years. But wherever they went, it was a hump in the ground. Somebody was getting buried each day because of rebellion. And they bought really, they really bought demise on their own. So why don't we elect another leader and go, listen, man, go back. They say they want to go back to the leaks. And as you were saying, you, whenever God brings you out, you're never designed to go back to what you once were before. You're never free. And get me when I say this. And I heard Pastor Pearson say it so calmly, so powerfully. You're never really free from sin totally. Paul really speaks about that in the book of Timothy. You're never really free from sin because he said you walk out your own soul in salvation. That means the more closer to Christ, the more you become more sinless. Not totally free from sin, but you're going to do the things you used to do. You're far from there. Like you said, Paul said when I was a child, I thought as a child. Why was he saying these things? Because Paul, remember, in his days of adolescency, he was given
various
things when he wasn't saved, how he used to act and the way he used to perform. But Paul said, I don't do those things no more. But I'm giving you information. You never designed to go back to where you were. When you start allowing
me
and spoke into your life, you become disrupted just as a person who spoke it. Come on. Talk to me.
Jesus said himself, he said that any man having put his hand to the gospel plow and turned back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Those were the words of Christ. You can read them. They're in red. What God done, understand that ours is a mission of going forward. And I think about this, that same very scripture. The one most prominent, of the disciples in that whole thing was Peter. A lot of us are like Peter. You know, we don't mind protesting. We don't mind debating things. Peter was stubborn. Peter didn't mind fighting. You know, and I can honestly say and testify, I come from a family of people who are loud. We have loud voices and don't mind using them to debate. But see, then later on, Peter became the one Jesus said that you are the rock. Peter became Petros, Peter, the rock. You are the rock that I'm going to build my kingdom on. And Peter went on to found what we know today to be the modern day church. But Peter had to go through something. Peter had to go through a chiseling process. He had to go through fire, just like the rest of us. We can come into this thing, and we can have the best business in the world. We ain't never going to be perfect. We ain't going to be perfect until after Jesus comes back and transforms us. But we can, and by the way, that word perfect is talking about mature.
Yeah.
Fully mature in God. It's not talking about without flaws. It's not talking about without fault. We've got to understand that. We look, so too many people today look at the man and woman of God and think they're supposed to be perfect. And then after a while, you get into a position where you're worshiping the creature more than the creator. And God says it's not to be so. We bless ourselves and curse ourselves with our own mouths. And we've got to understand, we've got to understand the direction that we need to go into. And see what it reminds me. Peter was many things. Peter failed his test when Jesus told him he would. But when Peter come back and got it together, Peter was the greatest mouthpiece and force that God had. Peter, when they founded the modern day church, the Bible says when Jesus sent down the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and Peter got his second wind and understood what he was to do, Peter preached and 5,000 souls got saved and added to the church. That wasn't just a coincidence.
Amen.
And we've got to understand that the one thing, the one thing and person that we can't seek to please when we take on this thing is ourselves. There's no big eyes or little U's in this thing. I mean, you know, there's no big eyes or little U's in this thing. We're all helpers one to another. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. The Bible tells us to build your brother up, condescend the men of lower estate. And we've got to understand that whenever you think you've arrived, you better check yourself because you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
That goes for any and all of us.
Right. You got to humble
yourself.
And
this word is living and it serves a purpose. If this mm-hmm. word is truly alive in you, then you're constantly reevaluating yourself. You're constantly using the word to mold and remake you and reshape you and retool you and sharpen you. And mm-hmm. that is a daily thing. It's a process. But it's all rooted and grounded in willingness, your willingness to obey. It ain't always, and that's the thing. It's not always, oftentimes, it's not going to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not going to always
feel good.
But them the kind of friends you want.
There's nothing more valuable than the peace of God in your spirit. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing can replace it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You have to obey God and walk into it.
Amen. Amen. It reminds me that you're part of that Galatians when you were talking about that. When he brings them, I remember how Peter got himself. He's always constantly getting corrected, but he was a great man. I mean, even when he went up there, I mean, what court they come from, Antioch, and they had their poles in his face. And sometimes you got to check people to bring them back down where they need to be.
Exactly.
When you do that, you get among certain people and crowds of people around you, oh, you don't know me no more. You know, oh, you forgot.
Paul literally had to check him at Jerusalem for being a hypocrite.
You got to check some of the people you're with, too. Man, don't do me like that. If you're going to bring
That's
me
right.
here, don't do that. If you're going to play me like a fiddle, and bring me before the people as I'm some kind of chaperone. No, I don't know. I run first chair. I play second.
Right.
I do just as much damage on the team as you do. I may not have all the popularity and exposure from the people in the crowd, but my work is no less and no lower than what you do.
Amen.
Talk to me like that. If you think I'm going to be a puppet, then you need to find somebody else you need to hang out with. I love being around the Pearl. But I love to be around a man of maturity is going to treat me like I got the aspect of going somewhere or potential of a young player going on the team or being a pro one day and being in the Hall of Fame.
Amen. We talk about keeping it real and keeping it 100, but it don't get no realer than keeping it, as the young folks say, keeping it real and 100 when you're standing on and standing in the Word of God. If you love somebody, that means you love enough to disregard their feelings because you know when you're speaking a word of truth, when you're speaking a word of light to them, it's going to benefit them. Feelings, you know, the funny thing about feelings, they change.
Yes,
the word of God, the Spirit of God never changes.
That was a woman of God who's mature in the ministry, and there were several things during the course of the week that when I was speaking at this particular event, at the little boy and the girl was walking down the aisle, and they was holding hands, and the father of the little girl said, "Look, y'all ought to be holding hands." Like I said, man, you better leave them kids alone.
Right.
You better leave them kids alone. You'd rather for her to hold him with him than hold him, you know what I'm saying?
Come on.
And with the likeness of knowing that what she's doing is okay, especially when it's been exposed around you that it's okay. You better let her hold that little boy's hand. Them kids all right. Don't worry about them kids. Another occasion that some of the teenagers in one of the classes we were in, you know, asked me, is masturbation a sin? And one of the young ladies who was in the class said, "That's not the appropriate time to be talking." I said, when is the appropriate time not to talk about it other than now? This is the right thing you need to talk
about. Sin. That's right. They need to be taught. They need to be fed. Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep."
Go to Judy's house tonight. Go over to Judy's house. And her just going to sit around and eat some popcorn. The devil is lying. Then you come up pregnant? And so you don't want to talk about it? Huh?
Come on.
You need to expose these things to your young children because they're learning at an early age, because the word of God declared, decreed, they become smarter and more wiser.
There you go.
Declared that word that old
than,
men would mean, but
then even the ancestors. Mm-hmm. And again, that's true. You see it today. You see examples of it every day.
Yeah, I mean, they learning in a high level of volume. That goes to show you. I was looking, and you probably look like some of your reports. I was looking at a thing that popped up on the Facebook. It's amazing. I don't like it because it makes you think how fast you're getting old.
I hear you.
It said a year ago.
Do you remember this?
I said a year ago. Is it a year already?
Yeah, man.
Time moves. It's moving. It takes no hostages. None.
Yeah, we're the only ones that's bound by time. God's not bound by time, but we are.
No, amen. Amen. There ain't no time in the kingdom. See, why here we got time down here? No, and that time is really a part of mercy and grace. If you think about how long suffering mercy and grace is, that when you've been acting a fool all your life for 70, 60, 70 something years, and you get to the point of death, and all of a sudden you have a call on you. I witnessed that in that time of need, because that's God's word. You know?
That's right.
And that ain't fair. No, it's fair. It's fair. Why is it fair? Because you chose to walk right and they chose to live their life. So what you said. See what gets me, you talk about the book of Habakkuk. You're talking about write the vision on the wall, make it all plain for all to see. And Habakkuk got to complain about the book over there. And God said, Habakkuk, what you saying? Because I ain't punishing them? You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't punishing them. Did you say I'm not a righteous God? But you ain't writing. You know what I'm saying?
Jonah had the same spirit.
Down, you know what I'm saying? You want to beat somebody down to make them feel that I'm righteous, you know? That'll make me feel good that I'm right if I beat them down. No.
Yeah. Yep. Jonah had the same spirit, man. Jonah was willing to Jonah actually disobeyed God because he hated the Ninevites so much. Now, God, in all of his infinite wisdom, grace, and mercy, is providing an opportunity for these people to repent. And because Jonah hated them, he was willing to disobey God. And God took him through his trial. What got me, brother, was when after God took him through his trial and delivered him, he went ahead and he reluctantly obeyed God. He delivered the word.
Yeah.
None of them repented. But that wasn't good enough for Jonah.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he left outside of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And sat up on the hill and watched, waiting to see God destroy Nineveh. And God taught him a lesson. God caused a big plant to grow up over his head and provide shade from that hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
And then God took it away.
Yeah.
And when he did, the man of God literally got so mad, he
asked. That brother got upset. Oh, look like we lost. Look like we lost the man of God. But he's going to be back on here. Look like his call may have dropped. And it may be just a disruption in his line. But we're still running strong on this side. And we're about getting ready to come out to the end of the service anyway. But we're going to hope and let him get back in. He was going to talk about the very flower in the process of Jonah's stubbornness. How he sat there comfortably, waiting on the wrath of God to come up on the people when he would be given the word and command to go down and save the people. Ain't that something? But even as we look at these whole processes going on today, God is still a merciful God. He's just still a great God. He's a humbling God. He's a loving God. He cares about me, you, and everybody else. It has been led to my heart. He's a man of God. I don't know what happened here. How he came offline and got offline. We're going to hope that he can hopefully tune back in here in a few minutes. But we want to take you over, speak to you in the area about salvation. You know, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what's going on, you know, and what some of the circumstances you may be dealing with. But we want to make sure we offer you a word to come into the kingdom of God. We believe that everybody has an opportunity. It's up to us to be able to present that opportunity for you. to have their right to the tree of life, to be able to save, to be sanctified, to fill with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you, for those of you in the position, just bow your heads as we pray in the name of Jesus for those who want to come to Christ and give their life to Christ. This is the best time that you can ever be saved is now. I believe we're living in the best time on earth, and that the Christians are living in a fabulous time to be prayed for and be saved under the anointing and the power of God's Spirit. And it says that God loves you. Sin separated you from God. Jesus died for your sins and my sins, that you can receive Christ right now, and that God loves you. That's for those who are heeded to that very word that we just spoke or heard that very word. Let's pronounce all together in this process of giving our lives to Christ, that we may live the life that Christ wanted us to live. Let's say it together. If I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if I believe in my heart that he raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Let's pray. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins and open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for every one of my sins, and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now let's the pastors here. There. If you are truly, truly receive that word of God on tonight, listen. Don't direct this word to the corridors of your church. You know, take this word to your Walmarts, to your Sonics, to your McDonald's, to your Myers, wherever you may be, your Tom Thumbs, your Kroger's, your Albertsons, wherever it may be. Go out to all the world and begin to proclaim the gospel. Make yourself up some little small cards with your favorite scripture on them. You go to lead someone to Christ, and then God will see that you're sincere about the work that he's called you to do in the season which you're in. We don't like to leave out on the program without acknowledging and praying for those who are needing prayer. As I said, to go, the man of God, somehow the disconnection has came, but I believe he's yet there listening in. And we just want to pray that prayer. We want to believe and declare that whatever it may have been that disconnected him out, that he's not out. He's just stealing, and we believe that God is showing him mightily favor in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this show. We thank you for this opportunity, even though it may have started out. It seemed to be a little rough, but Father God, you thought, as you always do. I believe, according to the word of God, you said you're present help and a present time of need. Father God, we thank you for the time sharing the word in the name of Jesus. Testify according to the Spirit. And even as we pray, Father God, this word will rain, it will move, it will shake the hearts and minds of every individual who's out there. And whatever it may be that's going on in their life, Father God, that you'll come into their household, into their life, and you're convicted, and you're arrested, and you're shutting out every single thing that's not like you. We decree, we declare over the life of every individual as under the sound of the voice of these men of God as we spoke on tonight through the Holy Spirit. And whatever they may need in their life, Father, you already provided for them according to your word. Father God, thank you for the time and moment. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord. Amen. It's a pleasure for you guys to join us. Catch us on next Tuesday or catch us on our Thursday night show coming out, actually, the word. And you'll hear the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, along with our other good friends that's going to be on the show with us. Got a couple of surprise guests that's going to be with us. It's a very interesting show. Join us as we get ready to prepare on this coming Thursday. Till then, God bless you and God keep you.